Have you ever, or you may even today, feel stuck? Feel stuck in your relationship with God? Feel stuck in your spiritual development? We're going to look at that briefly this morning. Anybody remember the song that Matthew West put together a few years ago, several years ago now, I guess? You know, going through the motions. You go through the motions, and that's what you're doing. Just kind of keep going through the motions, hoping that someday a spark of life might enter your soul once again. Well, we're going to look at that briefly this morning. We're looking at the passage of Scripture that Jim read to us from Matthew 13:33. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. That's it. That's all the parable. I just want to remember, to help you remember, that parable means to lay something beside another and to compare it. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed 60 pounds of flour and worked it all through the dough. The parable is kind of like the yeast. It's small, but its implications are huge. He's showing us something here about life. Not just living, but the life that God intends for us. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is present because Jesus is present. And he's living that life, and he's inviting us to live that life and to experience it. It's that life that is somehow like a woman mixing flour and yeast in dough. For a while, at one point in our marriage, Becky worked in a bakery. And she would leave early in the morning, and that was late evening, wasn't it, really? And worked all night, that's what it was, yeah. I slept while she was gone, I knew. But, and she would go in, and she would put together flour and yeast and a few other ingredients, depending upon what she was putting together, in this large pot, and then she'd turn on the commercial-grade blender, you know, and work that big old mound of flour and stuff together. It still took a while, even with that huge mixer going. It was a process to get that done. And I kind of looked some things up because I started thinking, what do I know about baking, really? Outside of throwing something into the oven at 350 degrees, I know nothing. And I just burnt something up, I know, because it's probably not supposed to be 350. But there's a rule of thumb in baking that says it's better to mix longer than shorter. So if you're going to air going long, kind of like a sermon. Oh, that's not. So then I asked myself, okay, what's the ratio between the flour and the yeast? I thought it was a good question to ask. I think it kind of applies maybe what Jesus is talking about. So I looked it up. You ready for this? It's 1/4 ounce to a pound of flour. 1/4 ounce. That's a huge difference. Now think about what you're trying to mix into 60 pounds of flour, for crying out loud. Jesus is saying this is a whole lot. It's going to take a while. And that flour is the stuff of us. And he's mixing in this yeast. The kingdom of heaven is being mixed into us. This life. Isn't that what yeast does for flour? It helps it to rise. To come to life. And that's what Jesus was saying. And it's in this process of the kingdom life being mixed into us that we are transformed by the catalyst of the Spirit who brings us this life. Next week we'll look at the script. I'm calling an audible here, Holly. Next week we'll look at the scripture that they read, okay? Gotcha. So now that I got Tolly taken care of, I'll move on. This is thoroughgoing Wesleyan theology and practice being talked about here. It's the process of sanctification. Now, I don't want to come across as a braggart about Wesley. I don't mean it that way. It is a distinctive that not only Methodists and Wesleyans go back and look at. When you look across the church today, not just here in America, but globally, those who are growing and those who are experiencing a lively faith and discipleship and having an impact upon the lives of those around them, you will see that this is the catalyst. This is the means by which it happens. They emphasize this process of transformation, of sanctification, of becoming holy, becoming like Jesus. You see, Jesus is talking about discipleship. He's lifting up something here that we need to pay attention to, because everybody around him that day, just about everybody who was listening to him, they were believers, but they weren't disciples. Not all of them. Very few of them were. And we have a lot of believers. The question is, how many disciples do we have? Those who pursue him, those who have yielded to him and allowed the Spirit to work in them as they cooperate with the Spirit, as they say yes, as they move forward. There's a key point that we don't want to skip over in this little parable. And here it is. When you're mixing flour, does the flour have any choice? I just got to kind of look over here and says, what are you talking about, Brian? Well, does it? It doesn't, does it? There's no will involved. I mean, if you mix the flour, it will be mixed. But if we're talking about the flour is us, if that's what Jesus is saying is being mixed, well, we have a choice, don't we? We can choose whether or not we allow the Spirit to work in us, to allow that yeast to be worked in us so that we rise to new life. Now, it was shared, and I'm not going to share the whole thing with you, but I'll share a portion of it. It was shared with us that unfortunately most Christians here in our neck of the woods, by that I mean the West, United States, are stuck. They're stuck. Kevin Watson, who is the main speaker and the author of the book that Karen lifted up, briefly shared with us a 2011 Barna study that was called Maximum Faith. I thought to myself, I seem to remember that one. I should have talked more about that, I guess. But anyway, The study revealed that a supermajority of not just Americans in general, but Christians in particular, are not cooperating with Christ to be transformed. They're stuck. The study revealed 10 stops along the spiritual journey that could be distinctively identified. Points of growth, points of where in each step forward, each stop forward, you see a closer fellowship with God, a closer intimacy with God, a life that looks more like Christ. There's 10 of them, but I'm just going to share two very quickly. The first one is stop 5. Yep, that's just halfway point. That's where people have received Christ. They have received Christ. They're Christian, but they read their Bibles. They participate in a Sunday school or a life group, and they're active in their church community. That's the good news. The bad news is that they looked at stop 6 and said no. After years of involvement in Christian faith activity, most believers slip into a spiritual coma. Faith has just simply become a series of ritual, routine, recitation, rules, stale relationships, and responsibility. And sometimes without realizing it, they quit stretching their faith muscles, seeking to draw closer to Christ. But yet they recognize this gnawing in their soul. There's this nagging sense that troubles them. There's this desire. And it's going wanting. And those that explore this, who look a little further, sometimes will say, well, they feel spiritually numb. Their spiritual life is on autopilot. They're back to those routines, those rituals, and just they're stuck. And yet, as they look at this, there is a deep, holy discontent. Sometimes we've referred to this time as the dark night of the soul. They're bored with typical local church activities, and they've come to question the validity of today's church and what it does or doesn't do. They're weary of the pettiness, the politics, and the polite relationships. They're aware that their spiritual growth has plateaued. They wonder, what can they do to reinvigorate their spiritual life? And all this has come about because the Spirit is at work in them. He's mixing, trying to mix the flour and the yeast. And they sense, okay, God's mixing me. He's wanting me to move forward. He's jarring me. And that, believe me, that's what it feels like when you come to this place. It's uncomfortable. Brothers and sisters, I have been there. Been there as a pastor. It is not comfortable. Now you're at a point of crisis. By crisis, it's a defining moment. It's definitive. Because some, out of their spiritual hunger, they begin to ask the right questions. But friends, asking the right questions and getting the right answers is another matter, because sometimes people fall, they're at this point of, and they become cynical, they're suspicious, they're doubting, they're frustrated. And what's the truth is that unfortunately most folk who get to this point, they stop. They abandon any further investigation for a deeper fellowship with God. And the reason is that they come to realize the cost, the commitment involved of moving forward on a journey to wholeness. Imagine a whole body of believers who do this. We call it a church. Believe me, I've seen a lot of stuck churches. And instead of moving forward, they retreat. They retreat to the earlier stop. And not maybe five, some of them leave the faith, so they may go back to two or three. They settle. They don't want to go any further. But a small portion will strive. They'll pursue Christ. They'll reject the normal Christian experiences and trust that God has something more for them, that God's doing a work in them. And they will commit themselves to an even more arduous journey. How many do this? Well, up to this point, 1 through 5, you have about in the neighborhood of 80 some odd percent of the population who've gone through 1 through 5. This step where they actually move forward is 6%. They're letting Christ do that work in us so that they become transformed disciples. So this morning, I want to know something. I know that because Jesus loves you, I know that the Spirit is working in you. He's working to mix that new life in you. Unless you have just told him, get lost. He's seeking you. I want to ask, are you stuck? Do you feel stuck somehow? Maybe you're experiencing what I've described. Maybe you have settled for something that is simply like just being a believer and not sure you want to go further. You've thought the cost too high. Maybe you simply gave up thinking that deeper fellowship with God is even yours to be had. Some of us reached that point. Some of us have that in our minds and our hearts from previous woundings. We just don't think that God would love us that much. But friends, no matter what your birth date is, no matter what your circumstance, it is not too late to continue the journey. You can continue the journey toward Christ's likeness. You can launch and get unstuck by simply saying, as Becky pointed out, say yes. And they'd be ready to submit, to go where he directs you, to do what he calls you to be available. We're not talking about getting lost in other activity. We're talking about to be involved in a relationship and practice that deepens your fellowship with God. Would you say yes to that? I invite you to answer now, yes. To join together and let's travel this journey together. What would you say now? I want to say yes. And you're thinking, well, Brian, you're the pastor. You're supposed to say yes. We pay you to say yes. This is the toughest job, one of the toughest jobs on the planet. It's also one of the easiest jobs to fake. And if you visit with Becky a while about what she sees happening in my life, you'll know that I'm not faking it. I care too much. I lose too much sleep over what's happening here or not happening here. I lose too much sleep praying, wondering, what is God calling us to do? What's the next step for Riverstone? I'm tired. I didn't realize how tired I was till this past Sunday when Becky took over. We came out of the convenience store where we had bought gas there in Lubbock, and she got in the driver's seat and started driving. I don't remember shallow water. Which, if you know anything about the area, shallow water is about 10 miles northwest of Lubbock. I don't remember shallow water. I was out. And about every 80, 100 miles, I'd wake up just nuts. Okay, we need to pull over. And then I'd go back to sleep. I didn't know how tired I was. And I don't say that to say, poor pity me. I'm saying that when I make this invitation, please know that everything I've got in me is asking you to allow the Spirit to be at work in you. To mix His lively yeast into you. Say yes. You can come and say yes here. It's a good place to do it. You can't say yes where you're at. I get it. But there's something about when we put ourselves, when we take the action to come and present ourselves before God here, the memory lasts longer. We take it home with us. Becky and I were walking through the lobby outside of the sanctuary area of the church there at Lake Ridge, and in between sessions, it was early on, and Phil McClendon walked up. That means nothing to you. But Phil McClendon was one of the guys, the other guy was Craig Curry, who met me in a place on this end at Cedar Canyon to a call to ministry. I was 15 years old. And anytime I see Phil McClendon, I immediately go back to June 25th, 1975, at the chancel there on a concrete, there were no pads, it was just concrete. And said yes. I hope that meant something for you in these 9 years. But by doing that, it sticks with you. So I invite you to, right now, if you want to say yes to Jesus doing his work, the Spirit work in you, say yes. If you want to come here, come here. I'm going to kneel here for a moment. Let's pray.